Hear now the word of God. From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse number 38. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse number 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Amen. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen.
Amen.
Going the second mile. That's what I want to talk about. Going the second mile. How many of you know it's easy to be a Christian? All you got to do is, you know, confess you're a sinner. Say that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you admit your sins. You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You believe he died, and you believe that he was resurrected from the grave. You believe that he sits on the right hand of God making intercession for you. It's easy to be a Christian. The tough part is living the Christian life. That's the hard part. And you know, that's my problem with some of my conservative brothers and sisters. You know, they got the praise down, they just don't want to help nobody. And this text, it's hard, you know. The text says, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That means if you kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. But an eye for an eye would leave us all blind and snaggletooth. Because all of us mess up now and again. Do I have a witness in the house? People have done some stuff to you and done some stuff to me. And if we just gonna repay, we're gonna retaliate. Look at somebody say, retaliate and vengeance. This is the Bible speaking, this is not Jackson. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Jesus says here in chapter 5, he says, you know, he says, and if a man smacks you on the right cheek, turn the left. Look at somebody and say, I told you Christianity is hard. And then tell them, don't try it. I'm still in process. I'm a Christian, but I ain't got it all down yet. I'm working on it. It says, if man, and it's a natural reaction if somebody smacks you, that that you want to retaliate. But, you know, I've learned so many things. When South Africa got free and Nelson Mandela got out of jail, and the white folk over there had treated black people so bad, I just wanted him to come and be president, and I wanted him to put them through some of the same stuff that my ancestors had been through. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But Nelson, thank God for Nelson Mandela, because he was right. If he had come out of jail and tried to do some of that stuff, we would have had a bloodbath in South Africa. Look at somebody and say, God's way is the better way. No matter how it feels. And then I thank God for Martin Luther King right here in this nation, right here in our own country. After what our ancestors have been through in this country, and Martin Luther King, and I grew up in that generation of Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Anybody know Malcolm? You know Malcolm. And you know, Malcolm would talk some mess. And Malcolm and Martin, and I have to be honest with you, there were times when I felt like I'm going to follow Malcolm, but I declare unto you, Martin Luther King was right, and he learned something from Mahatma Gandhi in India, and he knew that if we had gone out there and started fighting, we would have been killed. This text reminds me that Jesus says to him, somebody smacks you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. And then he says, if a man sues you of the law and takes away your coat, give him your cloak too. Back in this day, it was the law that if you could not pay your bills and you had a shirt, that a person could sue you in court, and they could take your tunic or your shirt or your undergarments. I don't know anybody who would want your underclothes. But that was the law. But they could not take your cloak, because your cloak was your covering, and your cloak was your blanket, and in your cloak you were able to sleep at night. If you were homeless, you had a cloak, it was your protection. They could have your undershirt, they could have your shirt, and I guess where that comes from is, you know, that saying about, you're trying to take the shirt off my back. But Jesus said, even though they're not entitled to your cloak, give it to them anyway. And then this next text, well, there's two more, really. It says, Jesus says, and whenever somebody compels you to go 1 mile, go 2. And in Jewish days, the Jews were under the domination of the Romans. And the Roman soldier could conscript a Jew at any time, no matter what the Jew was doing, no matter where he was going. He can be going to synagogue, he can go to the temple, he can be going to work. If a Roman soldier came up and said, listen, I want you to take my weapons, I want you to take my package or whatever it is that he's carrying, the Jew had to automatically take it 1 mile. And young, you know how young people are. Young people figure it out. They said, listen, they figured out exactly where it was 1 mile, if they were going east, west, north, or south, they knew exactly where 1 mile ended. And they would take the thing 1 mile and they'd say, not one step further. Jesus said, if you're compelled to go 1 mile, go 2. Now, let me tell you, I don't know, in my own mind, this text really is not about slapping somebody on the right side and slapping them on the other side. And it's really not about, it's not about revenge. I read this story about this trucker. He was a tractor trailer driver, and he was driving this big rig, and he was tired. He went into this diner, and there were three motorcyclists from Hell's Angels in there in the diner. He went in and ordered his meal, and the waitress gave it to him, and this one hell angel come over and took his eggs and bacon, and he didn't do nothing. And another one come over and took his coffee and cream, he didn't do nothing. Third one came over and took his toast, he didn't do nothing. He got up and went out, went up to the cashier, paid the bill, went out and got in his truck and left. And one of the hell's angels came up to the waitress later and said, yes, he wasn't much of a man, was he? She said, well, I don't know if he was much of a man, but I can tell you one thing. He's not much of a driver either, because he just ran over 3 motorcycles. We automatically want to be vengeful, and we want to take matters into our own. Look at somebody and say, we want to get even.
Sometimes we have to remember to leave it to God.
Going to second, be willing, you know, sometimes in this Christian life, you have to be willing to get worse than you deserve. Sometimes you got to be willing to get worse than you deserve. And this text really is not about getting even. It's not about slapping you on one side and turning the other cheek. It's about being gracious, offering grace. Don't always flip out over the first thing. How many of you know? I hope some of you can testify with me. I'm not as bad as I used to be. I'm a lot more great. You think I'm bad now? You should have known me 20 years ago. I'm a lot more gracious than I used to be. It takes more to get me upset. Maybe it's because I don't hear you. I don't know. But as a Christian, we have to grow a little bit. We have to be willing to get worse than we deserve. That's some stuff that happens to me. That's some stuff that happens to you, that you don't deserve it, and you know you don't deserve it. Don't fly out the hell. Be gracious. Be patient. Don't be ordinary. Don't be like you used to be. Wait on the Lord. Let the Lord work it out.
Well, there's another point. I was reading this story, I think I told this one at the early service, about this guy. He heard, he's sitting at a restaurant. I don't know why all this theological stuff happened at restaurants. You know, if I'm telling the story, it probably would happen at the Arena Diner. That's where I hang out. I'm on first name basis with every waitress up there. The owner knows me, whatever. This man was sitting at this restaurant, at this counter, and this guy came over and just gave him a chop on the back of his neck. The guy fell over on the floor. And the guy says, that's karate from Japan. The guy got back up and sat on his stool again. And 2 minutes later, he came over and picked the guy up and threw him down on the floor. He said, that's judo from Japan. Guy didn't do nothing. Guy walked out. 15 minutes later, he came back. Hit him. He said, that's a crowbar from Sears. Vengeance. Don't let vengeance get in your spirit, because it will end you up in jail or worse, and then you have years to meditate and think about. Sometimes we gotta be willing to take worse. Now, let me tell you something. I'm still struggling, and I'm telling you, don't test me. Please. I'll just leave it there. I know some of you sitting out there saying, I just think that's a shame. Let me come smack you. And then you show me how holy you are. I'm just saying, y'all.
Be willing, if you're a Christian, you got to be willing to give more than you are asked. You got to show grace to people. We live by grace. Our lives are powered by grace. Our lives are set free by grace. Not our knowledge, not our money, not our situation, not our background. Grace. Grace woke us up this morning. Grace forgave us for our sin. Grace gives us self-worth. Grace. The amazing grace of God. You got to be willing to take it. Listen. I don't need a bunch of deacons that can't take nothing. And I don't need any preachers, and I don't need to be a preacher. You know, sometimes folk will do something just to test you. Do I have a witness? They just want to see how much they can get away with. They don't slap you necessarily with their hands. They slap you with their comments. They slap you with their false sayings. They slap you with their eye contact. Now, let me tell you something. The Bible says if they slap you one time, turn the other cheek. But it doesn't say you got to take it for 65 times. That's abuse. Do I have a witness in the house? I'm also talking about abuse in our families, in our church. There are people who abuse their wives in the church. Let me tell you something. You don't have to stay there and take that mess. Get out before you kill him. Get out before he kills you. It gives me an opportunity to talk about that crazy stand your ground law. People decide, you know, because the music is too loud, they're going to kill. My God, if we're going to kill somebody because the music is too loud, we'd have killed our kids a long time ago. There ain't no reason to kill nobody. That's just an aside. It ain't got too much to do with the sermon, but I just felt like saying that. Got to be willing to give more than you ask. You know, sometimes in marriage relationships, we mess up. And we need to show grace to people. Our wives have to show. If you're gonna last a year or two, you got to learn how to show grace to your wife. And she got to learn how to show grace to you. Because you're going to say something. Anybody in here ever just said, you know, a sarcastic remark and it cost you $1,000? Come on, brothers. But here, I read another story about this man who was celebrating his anniversary. And he went to his wife and he asked her, well, you know, what would you like for your anniversary? She said, well, I want some perfume. So he went to the department store and ordered some perfume, and the lady came out and gave the best perfume, and he said to the lady, hey, here's $50 perfume. This is good stuff. And he said, well, it's really more than I want to spend. What else do you have? And she pulled out a smaller bottle of perfume, and it was $30. And he said, well, that's still too high. Give me something more economical. Well, she pulled out an extremely small bottle that cost $15. And he still wasn't satisfied at the price. And he said, look, lady, let me be very specific. Show me something that's real cheap. She picked up a mirror so he could look at himself. You see, a Christian should always be willing to give more than he is asked. It may cost you more in the short run, but it will gain you a lot more in the long run. Grace is what we are to live by. We need church folk who are willing to go the second mile. We got too many minimal Christians. All they want to do is give God the minimum. They don't want to give God any more than the minimum. Got folk in church, all they want to do, they want to sing in the choir, they just don't want to come to rehearsal. They want to show up on Sunday morning and don't know the words. We got people who want position, they want to be reverend, deacon, trustee, except they just don't show up at meetings. It
requires the second mile.
God help you if you got a husband or a wife is just a first mile person.
What happens when somebody gets sick? What happens when they lose their job? What happens when they're going through emotional problems? You need somebody that's acquainted with the second mile. Look at somebody. The blessing comes in the second mile. You think you are blessed. Wait till you get to the second mile. You haven't seen nothing yet. If you're at the first mile, the blessing is on the second mile.
Jesus says, if they require you, if they compel you to go 1 mile, go 2. Be willing to go farther than you are required. The Romans, as I said before, had the law that says you could go 1 mile. It was required. Jesus wants us to go a little farther. And we live in this generation today. We live in this generation for people who think, well, I paid my tithes. I'm not going to serve any chicken at the dinner. By the way, we're having a little birthday party, so if you want to exercise your faith today, you can go and serve over right now. And then we live in this generation where there's a set group of people, and they're usually older ladies, who, if you have something, that they're the only ones that will cook. They're the only ones that will serve. And you have all these young people with that briefcase that think they're too good to serve, and they're going to take their little narrow selves and sit down in the pew and let their grandmama serve them. Something is wrong with that. You and I need to go the second mile. And it's not just in the church. We wouldn't even write our congressman to tell him that we disagree with something. We waiting for the preacher to do it, somebody else to do it. Do it yourself. Go the second mile. Because the blessing is on the second mile. Not only are you able to bless somebody else in the second mile, but you can be blessed by, how many of you know service feels good when somebody else is blessed? Service. Forget about all these titles. You're a doctor so-and-so. So what? I know a whole lot of unemployed doctors. Service to humanity. Taking care of our parents and our grandparents who struggle for us, and now they're getting a lousy $600 or $700 a month from Social Security, and they need your help. Here you are making $150,000 a year and won't even pay your mother's rent. Something is wrong with you. You need to go the second mile. In fact, you don't even need to ride in the second mile. You need to walk. So you can reflect and think of how good God has been to you. Jesus says, don't figure out how little you can do. This text is not about, you know, smacking on the other cheek, smacking on the other one. It's not about, you know, giving your coat, you know. Not about somebody sues you. But I did hear this story. This week, this is a real story. A friend of mine is getting divorced, and he said they didn't go to a lawyer, Cynthia. They went to a mediation person. Cynthia is a mediation person. You can see me later, all the clients you get after my conversation with you today. She's not a lawyer, but she's in mediation. So if you're going through some stuff. And he said, he told his wife, they're getting a divorce, he says, hey, you can have it all. You can have, well, he didn't quite say that. He said, you can have everything you had when we got married. And then there was a little discussion about who had what. He said, no, you can have that too. He was offering her grace so that they could be civil. so that they could go their separate ways and not be mean-spirited and bitter and angry. And you and I have to learn how to be gracious even in difficulty, even in pain. We've got to learn how to be gracious. We've got to learn how to go the second mile. And listen, somebody's got to take the first step.
I said this before, you know, when my wife and I get mad at each other, and usually whenever that happens, we get in the car. We got to drive, you know. How many of you know 5 miles with a mad spouse is like 1,000?
And how many, the quietness is deafening, the quietness. You can have the radio on, boop de boop de boop, and still it's miserable. Somebody has got to take the first step and be gracious. You don't get 37 years unless you learn that somewhere along the line.
You got to be willing. Yeah, no, today my birthday is past. Tomorrow is her birthday. Jesus says, somebody requires of you 1 mile, go 2. Show a little extra compassion. Have you ever been in a relationship with a person that they always had to be right? And when they were right, you knew they were right, you got upset because they were right. Because they always had to be right. For God's sake, just be wrong once. Thank you, Linda. Jesus said, I'm done. It's way out of time. Show mercy and show grace. You know, my fundamentalist brothers and sisters, you know, they're those people who talk about, well, I believe every single word in the Bible, every word. I just believe it literally. That's not one tittle shall be changed. Smack them. See what happens. You better be ready to run, dog. somebody's gonna miss all the thing I'm saying. You know, that preacher said, smack them. Don't you come up here and try it on me either. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Sometimes we say stuff until we test it. And when it's tested, it might not be quite as simple as it appears. Do I have a witness in the house? But one thing is for sure. We all need grace.